Okay, so this is another, I'm going to read a couple more somatics. I thought I'd read this one because it also deals with a deceased poet. It's a little different, this one, though. And the exercise is called Confetti Allegiance. Is there a deceased poet who was alive in your lifetime, but you never met, and you wish you had met? A poet you would love to correspond with, but it's too late? Take notes about this missed opportunity. What is your favorite poem by this poet? Write it on unlined paper by hand, no typing. I'm sorry I'm so bossy. But I'm doing it for myself. If we were gods, we wouldn't need to invent beautiful poems, and that's why our lives are more interesting. And that's why the gods are always meddling in our affairs out of boredom. It's like the fascination the rich have with the poor. As Alice Notley says, the poor are more interesting than others, almost uniformly. This poem was written by a human poet, and we humans love our poets if we have any sense. Does something strike flint in you from the process of engaging your body to write this poem you know and love? Notes, notes, take notes. The poet for me in doing this exercise is Jim Brody and his poem Little Light, which he wrote in the bathtub while listening to the music of Eric Dolphy, masturbating in the middle of the poem, quote, while the soot-tinted noise of two full streets echoes, and I pick up the quietly diminishing soap and do myself again, unquote. Take your handwritten version of the poem and cut it into tiny confetti. Heat olive oil in a frying pan, toss the confetti poem in. Add garlic, onion, parsnips, whatever you want, pepper it, salt it, serve it over noodles or rice. Eat the delicious poem with a nice glass of red wine, pausing to read it out loud and toast the poet. Take notes while slowly chewing the poem. Chew slowly so your saliva breaks the poem down before it slides into your belly to feed your poem, to feed your blood and cells of your body. Gather your notes, write your poem. So this is the poem. It's called Love Letter to Jim Brody. Dear Jim, for those whose acid trips were a success, only twice I've met men who are high exactly as they are sober. Both became my lovers. You died, both died. One like you died, Jim. He played music too loud at parties to gather us into a single frequency, feel healed for the length of a song. Nothing works forever. There was something in the air that year, Jim, and you put it there. A rap center and pivot looking to face love again, learning to accept what's offered without guilt. To be reminded of nothing, my favorite day not dragging the dead around. They're looking for Lorca in the Valley of the Fallen. Franco's thugs would understand. Developing countries means getting them ready for mining diamonds, drilling oil, teaching them to make a decent cup of coffee for visiting executives. If I'm not going to live like this anymore, I must will every cell to stand away. The history of madness, 725 pages, is too much to not be normal. Scorn is very motivating. I'm vegetarian unless angels are on the menu. Mouth-watering deep-fried wings shove greasy bones in their trumpets. The cost of scorn is often unexpected. I see my fascist neighbor from downstairs. Did my boyfriend and I make too much noise last night? His glare, the yes that keeps me smiling. I thought I'd read one more of these somatics. This one I dedicate to my friend Ish Klein, who makes these amazing movies and puppets with and her one big rule is that it has to be things she finds on the street. So for Ish Klein, who sees art and garbage. The exercise is called Arise in Your Dross. Save your garbage for a week. Every wrapper, every box, carton, save it all. Rinse it out if you must, but it's better if you don't. Better to smell it. At the end of the week, go through each item slowly, carefully. Do it in a closed room. Don't let anyone bother you. Don't answer the door or the phone. Ignore them. You're busy looking at garbage to build a poem. Take some notes. Write down interesting facts from labels or the size of things, how they look, how you remember them at the cash register. Imagine where this packaging came from, factories, and before that, fields and trucks and many, many hands picking, cutting, grinding, printing with color and black ink. Take notes when thinking about these things. Smell them one at a time with eyes closed, eyes opened, eyes closed again, smelling, deeply smelling. Notes. Take your notes. Now get naked and get in the bathtub and go underwater, blow bubbles. Go under again and stay under a little longer. Do this several more times, then come up. Dry your hands on the side of the tub and grab your notes and write about drowning. Pull your notes together to write a poem about drowning, and you're about to die drowning, but this is what you want to share at the end. Go back under the water again, then come up again and write. And the poem is called Collects Me by the Throat. The best funeral I've ever been to was the night we intended to cope with this love. The increase is beautiful, like poems by a poet who finally gave up on fear. Every chance, every dog, everywhere, ever gets. My mother's okay with it. I caught her having sex with my babysitter, Marcy. She yelled, "She's got a tongue, doesn't she?" Odd and strange when marriage and military make your favorite M words. Every time, every eye, every door, ever blackened. Being a hijacker, not a stowaway. My mother arrested for stealing a jar of honey. But who will arrest the thieves of bees? There is no permission. There is no permission. There is no permission. There is only death and the life you live or are led by. So I wanted to read a few of this series that I've been writing for some time. It's called Going to 108. I don't want to make a long story about it, but I developed a dream therapy with water to remember my dreams when I wake up, and it's crystal infused water. And when I started having involuntary out of body experiences, and when I would wake up from that, I would hammer out a block of text and then chip away at it. And so here's a couple of those, four of them actually, they're very short. Function a suitcase entering the new city, a futuristic daybook of a false eyelash, the sleeping game, the sucker's game, gather by the one who burns, proceed in reverse, tune mythology at the preface. 10 minutes into worry, needing us a total attempt in vain some days, igniting a fashion for this blasted placement, my old thought of where we are going to bleed on the sofa, all around me this watered motion claps winter on the neck. We are not between trees, between hairs. Split mine in two so you can get it going. Keep it soaring. Resisting the storm snapped a wing. Generosity also has its cancer. I mean the planet when asking us to mimic oldest picture of our mother. Some minds will not think around corners. For years my anger destroyed the flower in search of its engine. Eagle claw my ear to wallflower patience, blooming coarse salt slow to bond. It begins to taste itself, a revolution no prairie house could harbor. I thought that I would end by reading from the Book of Frank. This is a character I invented, a fictional character. Everybody asks if it's Frank Sherlock. It's not. When Frank was born, father inspected the small package the nurse handed him. But where's my daughter's cunt? My daughter has no cunt. Mother leaned from the bed. This is your awful son, dear. Your son has no cunt. Why doesn't my son have a cunt? What has happened? What a wicked world, dark and spinning on its one good leg. Frank hated the 9 miscarriages kept in jars of formaldehyde. Mother burped each one, spooned peas against the glass. She rocked them all at once in her arms, no room for Frank. You are too big for a jar, my child. You will betray me the rest of your life. Frank's sister grew long blue feathers. She said it was worse than cutting teeth. She spent a month screaming in the cave, pushing them out. Frank would lie in bed at night, touching his own back, crying, praying it wouldn't come to him. But the day his sister flew to the house, he stood by the window in awe, giant blue spread coming in across the lake. He heard the hunter shot before she did. This daisy in my mouth, Frank says, is a snorkel breathing another dimension. Frank congregate clear around the sleeping worm of the apple. Any life saved in this place is magic, Frank said. It's life coming back to you. Frank grew crows for hands. It was a difficult childhood. At dinner during prayer, his crows flapped excited in the name of the Lord. Frank, keep still, mother hollered. Did you wash your crows? Did you wash your filthy, stinking crows? When father died, Frank was found straddling him, his crows picking the 7 gold fillings. Frank saw a giant eat a park bench with her vagina, drink a swimming pool with her vagina. I saw her swallow the baby and spit out the crib, Frank said. He tiptoed past her snoring uterus one night and heard a few familiar voices cry out. Monkeys inside Frank ascend until his bare face is covered. Would you sign my book, Mr. Poe? Frank asked the pile of bones amid shovels of dirt. Why, certainly, young man, answers Frank in a different voice. Frank knows a butterfly who wonders about her old caterpillar friends. For love, Frank spoke softly into envelopes instead of writing letters.